The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We'll be talking Camogie and Cork going back-to-back in the All-Ireland Senior Championship with Therese O'Callaghan, the former Cork captain, in a few minutes' time. But there was a press conference before the Camogie finals at the Croke Park Hotel yesterday. In attendance, you had the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and also Thomas Byrne, the Minister of State for Sport. And they say funding for Irish athletes and facilities in advance of the next Olympic Games is going to top 500 million following the success of Team Ireland in Paris. This is according to Thomas Byrne, who said the spending to support high-performance athletes and teams could reach 120 million cumulatively over the next 4 years, with a further 400 million being allotted in funding for new stadiums and world standard facilities. Delighted to say we've got Kieran Cunningham, who is chief sports writer of the Irish Daily Star with us, and Gavin Cooney, who's sports writer with the 42.ie. Kieran, if I come to you first, quite a bit of this money isn't new money at all, is it? This is money that was already pledged earlier this year.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the timing is, it's very unusual to have an announcement like that on a Sunday, but it's clearly they wanted to get, you know, get this out in the afterglow of Ireland's most successful Olympics, you know. I'd like to see the breakdown of where the money is going, because if you ask me in one word what I'd like the money put into, I'd say people. And particularly into coaching and into athlete. And I use athlete, the word athlete, in the broadest sense, because if you look at the top level of grant under the Sport Ireland's carding scheme, it's 40,000 a year. And that's been at that level since the noughties, close to 20 years. But most athletes are in what was 12,000 for a long time, and now is up to 18,000. And if you're working, you know, if you're based in Dublin because you want to use, say, the Institute of Sport or your swimmer in the aquatic centres, etc., 18,000 won't get you very far. I think they have to look not just at the athletes are funding, the amount of athletes are funding, but the level of funding that they're giving each individual athlete. Like, I remember talking to Oliver Dingley. I spent a day with him out of the Aquatic Centre, and he went to two Olympics with Ireland, a diver. And he was born and raised in the UK. He moved to Dublin. He was in 12 grand a year grant. And he was saying the biggest thing issue for him, he says, is the loneliness and the isolation, because he didn't have a car. And he was asking, could I put in that he would love to get a sports in the piece, that he would love to get a sponsored car. Because if you know yourself, if you go to Abbottstown, it's not well served by public transport. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all very good that he had, there was accommodation set him up for beside his training base, etc. But he had no real life outside of that because of the level of funding he was at. And it's only the real elite, you know, there's only a handful in Ireland who get sponsorship on top of the grants. The rest rely very heavily on the grants.
Yeah, I mean, Gavin, we're at this situation where even some of the very elite athletes in the weekend just gone by, Sophie Becker, Charlie Mosley, they've got jobs on the side here as well.
Yeah, they do indeed. And, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the Great British team beat Ireland just narrowly to third place in a bronze medal. Maybe it's a little bit unfair to say it, but your mind does wonder, like, what if our girls were full-time, you know? It should be pointed out, like Phil Healy works a full-time job as well, as a software developer, I think, and, you know, that work-life balance kind of suits her, I think. But obviously, like, if you want to be full-time in athletic, you should have the opportunity, ideally, to do that in Ireland. And it will take investment in them. Kieran has outlined very well there what would be needed in terms of sports capital grants, and the fact that there are relatively few athletes earning the top 40 grand a year. You know, the majority, if you look at the breakdown, are on the 12,000 figure. But as I was listening to the brilliant athletic journalist Cathal Dennehy earlier today talk about the lack of investment in coaching in Ireland, and he talked about the Dubliner John Coughlin, who a few years ago, the only money he could make from coaching was working with Meath GAA. He then got an opportunity to go and coach in America, and he coached home the two of the three medalists in the women's 100-meter hurdles final at these Olympic Games. So you've got a coaching mind who has transformed the career of international athletes to win Olympic medals, and he couldn't make his living here. So in fairness to Sport Ireland, and Sport Ireland obviously a statutory body, there has been a little bit more investment in coaching in the Olympic cycle coming up to Paris, but there can always be more, you know? And like, we ask ourselves, what is the value of an Olympic medal? To live through the last couple of weeks was thrilling, and it was extraordinary. But the value from an Olympic medal comes from inspiring people to play those sports, because the Olympics is an amazing opportunity to tell young people in this country that just because you're not great at soccer or rugby or Gaelic football or hurling, doesn't mean that you sport isn't for you. You know, there should be, like, this is the opportunity to show that there's so many things that you can do to, you know, that will so benefit your physical and your mental health and just generally improve your lifestyle. But, you know, in Ireland, we often don't have the facilities to suit those opportunities that are there. And, you know, those facility problems exist in the big three field sports as well.
Yeah, I mean, Kieran, I don't know whether there is going to be a shift in mindset here whereby there'll be plenty of children who have been watching the Olympics and, you know, particularly accessible sports, if the facilities are available when it comes to swimming and athletics, particularly the big two at the Olympics. If there's any time to try and cash in on interest with kids, it's right now.
Yeah, because there's one thing that I would be very wary of is an obsession with medals, because that can take you down a dark and a dangerous road. And also it can take you down very narrow paths. Like, New Zealand is often put up as a model that Ireland should look at. And we've had ministers of sport in the past who've travelled to New Zealand because they have, like Ireland, a very strong team sport. And they have rugby, we have the GA. But they also produce a huge amount of Olympic medals. But if you look at, they had 20 medals in Paris, they had 10 golds. Four of those goals, nearly half the total, were in canoeing. So obviously huge resources went into canoeing. And like there's niche Olympic sports. Like if Ireland put a huge amount of money into, say, modern pentathlon or dressage, it would probably pay off in medals. But would there be an overall benefit to the health and the well-being of the nation from that? I don't think so. But I do think putting running tracks in place, in particular all over the country, benefits a lot more than just athletics. Like, you look, just because this is the week that the Premier League starts, James Milner will be starting a 24th Premier League season in a row, which is remarkable. He was a schoolboy champion at both cross-country running and sprinting. He had a background in athletics. And you'll find across the board, so many people who've gone on to excel in other sports have a grounding in athletics, that it's a great... even if you're not going to make it as an athlete in any of the disciplines, it's a great grounding for moving on to other sports. And it's it doesn't cost the air to put running tracks in place. You know, that's something I would like to see, rather than just doing this medal chase. Like GB, Great Britain, people forget this, only got one gold at the Atlanta Olympics, and they put huge money into sport, but they went after niche. Like in the velodrome, they clear up year after year after year at the Olympics years. And you'd wonder, you know, what is the benefit of that? They put huge money into rowing. Like rowing here is a very different sport to rowing in the UK. Rowing in the UK is very much a private school sport. It's not the most inclusive sport. And just on inclusion, I think it's very important for Ireland that boxing stays in the Olympics, because it's the most inclusive sport of all. And I think there will be a large community that will feel locked out of the Olympics if boxing is excluded. Like you have a traveller won a silver medal 12 years ago, John Joe Nevin. Another traveller, Francis Barrett, carried the tricolour at the opening ceremony in Atlanta. Like it's a sport that really matters, and it's going reaching out to people that other sports aren't reaching.
Yeah. Gav, another question that's going to come around all this as well is one that, I will give credit to Senator Malcolm Byrne, because he said people will be eye-rolling at this suggestion, because I rolled the minute that I saw it yesterday, this idea that Ireland could potentially bid for the Olympics in 2072. It's one of those moments that always happens after an Olympics. Oh, why don't Ireland go for this? Or if there's a major tournament on, sure, Ireland could host that. There's absolutely no way Ireland could ever host the Olympics.
No, it would grind the country to a halt. I mean, everyone would arrive at the airport and figure out, oh, there's actually no easy way to get into the city centre, and the problems would only build from there. Perhaps the Metro North might be finished by 2072, but let's face it, nobody's holding their breath on that. Look, I mean, you know, this happens all the time. Gay Mitchell commissioned a report back in the early 90s to assess whether Ireland could host an Olympic Games. Shane Ross talked about it in kind of more throwaway terms that, you know, why stop at bidding for Rugby World Cup? Why don't we could even maybe bid for the Olympics. Let's explore it. What Malcolm Byrne said was, and what he said had merit, is that, you know, all these athletes, they deserve the best of facilities. And we should absolutely be developing better sports facilities in Ireland, not just for the elite, again, as Kieran has pointed out there, but for everybody. But the idea that we need to host an Olympic game to do that is rubbish, you know? So obviously, like, this is... you know, like an Olympic Games is an enormous thing. Paris was an incredible host city, but Paris. I mean, us hosting Olympic Games would be like an absurd vanity project and an astonishing waste of time and public money. So, no, it's obviously made a few headlines yesterday and today, and while I would agree with the Senator's wish to invest and develop sports facilities across the country, you can do that without hosting an Olympic Games.
Yeah, I think this is one, Kieran, that we can rule out right now.
Well, it's a great argument for abolishing this, Sean. It's, you know, the more people come, the more senators speak. It's the better, the stronger that argument becomes. So for that reason, it's welcome. No, what would be interesting if Dublin did win the bid, which obviously it will never happen. Like, it's actually going to be a long, long time. There'll be another Olympics in Europe, let alone in Ireland. So, but who would light the cauldron? And if you look at Paris, one of those that lit the cauldron was their most prominent judoka. The most prominent judoka to ever come out of Ireland was Pat Hickey. So given Ireland's checkered Olympic history, it might be appropriate if he let the cauldron.
He's coming back, lads. Thanks a million.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.